Hi, I'm Mark Richmond from Crocodile Encounters. What do the kookaburra, vampire bat, and paradise tree snake all have in common? They can all fly. Well, glide anyway. The paradise tree snake is one of a small group of snakes that are able to flatten out their ribs to such a degree that they become almost like an aeroplane's wing and can glide from tree to tree or from a tree to the ground. Visit crocodileencounters.com.au for more. I'm Mark Richmond and my reptile rules.
This is Pet Talk Radio with Kay Brown and Brian Pickering.
We were talking about people needing to be strong leaders for their dogs, and a lot of people say, oh, but I don't like to be tough on them, and, you know,
they're my babies,
et cetera, et cetera. And we're sort of the same with people as well. We often think that, you know, if we're strong with people, perhaps they won't like us. And on the phone, we have a gentleman whose credentials I'll let him explain to you. His name is Robert Norton. He's written several books, and one I'm reading at the moment is called Treat People Like Dogs, Six Tasks for Passionate Leaders. Hello, Robert.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for letting us review this book, because it's absolutely sensational. I wasn't sure what to think of it initially, but I've suddenly got the picture. Tell us a little bit about the book. Why did you write it?
Well, why I wrote it, I celebrated my 60th birthday last year, and I decided to ride my motorcycle from Montana to Alaska, 4,000 miles. And in the process of that trip, I visited mucked up kennels up in the Yukon, owned by a champion dog sledder, Frank Turner. And I really hadn't been among dogs very much, but I remember the first time I walked among his 110 dogs by myself, I was a little bit
nervous,
startled, because I was surprised, because they know, I mean, because of their sense of smell, their sense of hearing, they know way more about me than I knew about them. And I started thinking, well, these dogs don't have any baggage, and I do. And as I continued my motorbike ride back to Montana, I couldn't stop thinking about the dogs. And when I got back to Australia a month later, I called up Frank and said, I'd like to come back up to the Yukon and write a book about you. And I don't quite know what it's going to be about. And he said, come on up. And so I went up and lived with him and lived with the dogs and got to know him, and that's where I got the information from the book.
I'm so jealous. I am so jealous to live this life. What were the key things you took from that experience?
Well, just a lot of things. Number one, it was a life-changing experience for me, namely because I went back and made my way back to the Yukon to do this. But the very first thing that really got the hairs on the back of my neck up is when Frank took me out with the dogs the first day. It was sub-zero weather. And every dog in the yard's barking, 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 take me. And he picks out 14 dogs, and I was struck at how powerful they were. Brian and I could not physically control those dogs. They could pull a train. Then the question becomes, well, if you can't physically control them, how do you do it? And the answer has to be, you do it because of the relationship that you develop. And it's a combination of being nurturing, but also tough love, because you need that discipline too.
That is extraordinary. That's probably the best way I've heard that explained. So you were up there for quite some time. How did you then turn that around to make it apply to we mere humans that don't have the same senses that dogs do?
Well, my background, in Australia, I'm a business consultant. I specialize in change, working with CEOs and managing directors. And the question is, how do you initiate that kind of change? I was struck by these dogs. My first notion was the musher just trains the dogs and that's it. But that's not true. When these dogs, for example, they run a 1,000-mile race, and they run 8 hours straight, they rest 8 hours, they run 8 hours, and they do that for 10, 12, 13 days in the Yukon Quest. But I was struck by the notion that the dogs actually seem to grant the musher permission to lead. It's not just the musher saying lead, it's the dog saying, yes, you can lead. And I'll give you just two quick stories here. One Yukon Quest 1995, a musher was well ahead of all the rest of the pack, but somewhere along the line he violated the contract with the dogs. He drove them too hard, and the dogs just quit. They just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
You can punish them, you can kick them, all that. They won't get up. They refuse to let you lead.
They'd lost faith in him.
Lost faith. And Jack London wrote about this, by the way, in Call of the Wild back in 1900. The second example is the very first Yukon Quest. It was one of the worst snowstorms You couldn't see. It was sub-zero, 40 degrees Fahrenheit below. Five mushers had hooked themselves together to get over the mountain.
Wow.
The dog's eyelids froze, so they couldn't open their eyes.
Oh, no.
And the musher, one musher guy named Daryl, goes ahead and gives a little whistle, and the dogs, he coaxed them ahead a few inches, another few inches. 4 hours later, they got over the mountain. But the point here is the dogs never broke the contract. They gave him permission to leave. And that's such a powerful principle in the world of business. A CEO, a managing director that obtains permission to lead from his or her employees, the company's going to thrive versus managers and do this, do that.
Yeah,
and the employees are there doing it for out of fear or, you know, any other emotion as well. That is a powerful story. Now, you see this race as a thing of great beauty and a great lesson for us all. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say on behalf of some of our listeners who say these kinds of races are cruel, that, you know, we shouldn't put our dogs through this kind of thing. So, 'cause there are people that think that.
Yeah, I thought that too until I saw these dogs and went out with the dogs. I mean, if anything, when you see huskies, say, in the city, you just feel so badly because these dogs want to run. Arguably, the northern dog is the strongest athlete of any animal in the world when you consider the combination of strength and endurance and speed. Michael Johnson ran the 400-meter Olympic race in about 40 seconds. Mm. These dogs can run that fast as the Olympic racer, but more importantly, they can run for 8 hours. And then that's pulling a sled in the coldest part of the winter, and they do this day in and day out. And if you could have watched that first story I told you about when Frank hooked up those 14 dogs, I swear to God they were yelling, take me, I want to go. I mean, it's just like amazing. So I had that bias. But the northern dogs, they want to run. And when you look at the Gold Rush history, up in the Yukon, it started in 1896. The partnership between dogs and the old miners was critical. The dogs helped the miner get supplies, but more importantly, the dogs helped get the miner through 3-4 months of cold, black winter with the companionship. And that was a real partnership. It wasn't thought of, you know, I'm the boss, you're not. That companionship was real critical.
Unbelievable. The book is a fantastic read. As I said at the start, I wasn't sure at first whether it was a book for lovers of dogs or a book for people who are looking for inspiration and, you know, ways of moving forward. But really, it's a book for kind of both types of people, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it invites people to make connections. And what it's doing, Brian, metaphorically, it's drawing from the attributes, the stories, the narratives of dogs. And that those rich metaphors helps to inform where insights are and helps to inform some of those tasks that I talk about that being a passionate leader.
Yeah.
Well, good on you. Good doggy, Robert.
Oh, it was fun. And believe me, I mean, I'm passionate about this topic now.
Well, look, we'll tell people about your book, Treat People Like Dogs, 6 Tasks for Passionate Leaders by Robert Norton. We'll put your website details on our website. And, Robert, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Oh, it's an honor to talk to both of you.
That was the author of the book, Treat People Like Dogs. We've been speaking with Robert Norton. If you'd like a copy of this book, a great book, just pick up the phone and dial 028-212-3918. That's 028-212-3918. Leave your first name and a phone number and an area code, and we'll get back to you in the next couple of weeks. We have a bit of a delay while we go right around Australia, but we will wait and make it fair for everybody to wait until they've heard this show, and then we'll pick a couple of winners at random. And don't be disappointed if you don't win this time. We're going to have a lot of little competitions this year. You can also go to our website, www.pettalkradio.com. Coming up next on Pet Talk Radio, Dr. Harry and Steve Austin talk about alternative pets.